I go around and do a roll call. This meeting is being recorded. It's a public meeting, but the video is not being recorded. It's only audio.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I had, we'll certainly take a pause to introduce Jen Miller, the co-chair of the Rail Belt Generation Transmission and Storage Subcommittee of the Alaska Energy Security Task Force. I am the other co-chair. My name is Tony Izzo. In my work, I'm currently the CEO of Matanuska Electric Association and have been with gas and electric utilities for 35 years or so of my career. We'll move on to, so again, welcome. Let's go with introductions of the other task force members.
Okay. And then, Tony, just so you know, Jen just messaged me. She's in a lobby waiting, but I'm going to just resend her the link. I don't think it's for this meeting. So I apologize if you see my screen flicker. I'm going to be sending her that information.
Emailed her that information. I think she's in the other task force meeting. I can handle it, Michael. Oh, here
okay.
She is. Hi, Jen.
Hey! Sorry, guys. I was in the lobby.
Yeah. Well, welcome. I just mentioned that you and I are both the co-chairs of this subcommittee. Briefly introduce myself. Why don't we please introduce yourself, and then we'll move on. I'm happy to, you know, in your absence, I was just going to fall into the role of running the meeting, but would always defer to you. So you can take it from here. Just let me know how you'd like to proceed.
Okay, wonderful. Well, apologies for the delay there. And hi, everyone. I'm Jen Miller. I'm the CEO of Renewable IPP. We're a utility-scale solar development construction operation company. And, thrilled to be co-chairing this subcommittee with Tony and looking forward to work together. Tony and I put together some slides to help frame up the discussion today, which really the intent is for all of us to get on the same page about what our purpose, scope, and deliverables are. And so I'm happy to facilitate through those slides, and they are intended to be, we've just kind of put words on a page that help prompt discussion. And as far as when we talk about what our purpose is or what's in scope or out of scope, and Michael, I could bring up the PowerPoint slides, because then I can kind of type and move things around as we get feedback from the subcommittee. Would that work
sure.
with you for you?
Yeah, any way you want to run this. And then okay. Before we jump into that, I think we just want to do like a quick roll call for those that are on this call, just so that it, you know, picks up in the recording device. And I'm happy to do it for the contractors right now, just get them out of the way. Michael Yaffe, Michael Baker, Mark Lukin with Michael Baker, Nick Ferrat with Michael Baker, Karin McGilvery with Michael Baker, and then Hua Feng with Black and Beach. We're all present, and then I'll just welcome the members to go down the list, and Tony and Jen, if you want to go through the members that are on screen.
Well, we should, John Sims has his camera on, so John, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure, thanks, Tony. John Sims, I'm the president of Star Natural Gas and SINGSA, which is Cook Inlet Natural Gas Storage of Alaska. Happy to be a part of the committee. Thanks.
And should we just have the subcommittee members just kind of jump in and introduce themselves?
Hi, Mon. Andrew Guy.
Thank you, Andrew. Not sure I see any others.
So there looks like there's other members that have joined. Looks like Sarin Park, and I apologize if I'm not saying your name correctly.
Yeah, Sarin Park is with Black and Beach for part of the consultant.
Okay. And then same Moses Wiseman. It looks like Kalista Corp.
Yeah, that was Mr. Guy, Andrew Guy, right. Voting member of the task force and a member of the subcommittee.
Okay. And then Brian Carey with AEA. So I think that's everyone. So apologize. We can move forward.
Okay, well, back to you, Jen.
Okay, great. And I'm going to go ahead and just share that PowerPoint slide pack. Okay, and apologies. I'm having our roof replaced today, and so if the noise gets to be too much, just let me know and I'll change rooms. Okay. All right, yeah, so as I said, we'll discuss, I'm just going to keep it in working mode just so I can type in edits, but the focus here will be discussing the purpose of our subcommittee, the scope, deliverables, and then at the end we'll end with a brainstorm talking about information needs. So before we get into the subcommittee purpose, I just wanted to flash up the executive order purpose. And so let's just all, and I through both this slide and the next one, I've gone and highlighted the, you know, kind of what seems pertinent to our subcommittee, and so I just wanted to flash this up. This is exactly from the executive order, so I just want to give everyone a minute to read this. And so, I did highlight, you know, that we are looking at as far as, and we'll get into this in the scope discussion, but according to the executive order, we are looking at generation, distribution, transmission, and so move that. And then this also kind of relates to the purpose is the duties and responsibilities for the task force, and this is for the overall task force. And again, I've gone in and highlighted where I think it's pertinent to our subcommittee, but it's also good, you know, this is just one person's, it's Tony and I's read on this, and so definitely if there's others that you think we should be included in our subcommittee, you know, please speak up.
For those that just joined, if you can mute.
And Jen, just to
go ahead, Tony.
Just a comment on that second bullet that you have highlighted. It said it reads identify solutions for meeting Alaska's energy needs now and in the future with a focus on affordability, reliability, and security. And I think those are certainly core tenets of what any utility is providing or seeks to provide. I think safety, I just want to say out loud that I believe safety is implied clearly in the, you know, reliability and security. It's just broader because more and more we deal with things like cybersecurity that are not necessarily as tangible as physical assets. So I wanted to say that out loud and make sure that didn't cause concerns for any other task force member. And I see Michael's got his hand up. And you're on mute, which I do twice a day.
Sorry. Just a quick update point of information with that survey poll that we released Friday. We have 9 responses so far, so please take it if you haven't taken it. But the leading kind of keywords for priority areas for the goals so far, you know, the 3 that are in the lead are affordability, reliability, and then leave no one behind approach. But that's not final yet, but that's the preliminary. It's just from NIDOS.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Michael, for sharing that context.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other comments? And this is just kind of context setting, and we'll get more into the discussion in these next slides. But anything else that anyone wants to emphasize from the executive order? Okay, and so this slide here is the same content that was in our last task force meeting that listed the purpose of our subcommittee. And so these are all the bullets that were provided, and I thought it would be good for us to discuss these and finalize the list in ideally in order of priority. I guess, Tony, see what your thoughts are, but from my point of view, I guess I took this as some of these are suggested, some of them like doing, evaluating multiple scenarios, those are more, it's a pretty firm request. But this is a pretty, I guess, expansive list, I would say, or maybe kind of a catch-all. And so I guess my thought would be is maybe we sharpen this a little bit to say, you know, what we're focusing on, and then maybe we list as like other priorities or, you know, kind of nice to have. Any thoughts for me, Tony?
Yes, briefly. I'm sitting here thinking that I wish Curtis Thayer was, you know, as a vice chair is also listed on this committee, because the vice chairs and the chair, Nancy Dahlstrom, provided us with this document at the last meeting, or at least a document that included what we see on the page here. And I think getting clarity around some of these maybe being suggestions versus tasks would be helpful. But I also think that prioritizing these and determining how we move forward to inform the subcommittee so that we can make credible recommendations is important.
So.
Okay, great. And maybe just based off of the initial feedback from the task force committee survey, I guess what I could do is just start to move these in order of priority, and the ones we have questions about, I can kind of, you know, put in another category. But what do you think?
Jen, I think because you're sharing your screen, Michael's hand went up and then John Sims.
Oh, great. Okay. Michael, please chime in, and then John.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out too that, you know, to evaluate multiple scenarios, I don't feel like you have to prioritize that. That's more of something, process is going to happen at the end. So you almost want to maybe separate that from the priority list. And that's what Black and Beach has been kind of engaged to assist with.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. And then, John?
Yeah, looking at that purpose list, and I'm sure it's implied in some of those bullets, probably more than one, but I think it's really important to, you know, make sure that there's a strong focus on energy storage in this committee. And I don't really see that, but I think it's so important and critical that we should probably have it be its own separate bullet, because without that, a lot of those options are going to be challenging. So. And that's an area that I definitely want to be educated on, because I really don't know much about the energy storage from an electricity point of view and how that works into the grid and ties in. So just a suggestion.
I agree, John. And to me, it seems like it's the remit of our subcommittee to look at generation, transmission, and storage.
Right.
Does that sound right to the group?
I would say yes to John and Jen. It is, you know, Rail Belt Generation, Transmission and Storage Subcommittee. And although I might look at the bullet that says increasing reliability and resilience and presume that's what it means, I'm in the middle of that, of the business, and John raises, I think, a really good point, because I don't know that you can even encourage energy efficiency. I know that a number of the available technologies, renewable technologies today, are really absolutely dependent upon energy storage to firm up or increase the capacity, and therefore the real value. So I'm in full support of adding that.
Yeah, I view this, not just from a operational perspective, but also from an educational perspective. And Tony, to your point about how you're in the thick of it every day and see that, increased reliability and resilience, and that to you means storage. I think for the average ratepayer, they have no idea what that means and how critical it is. So that's why I think it makes sense to put that out there.
Yeah, completely agree. And I'm happy to, thank you for pointing that out. I'm sure it won't be the first time that I make assumptions based on, maybe being a little too close to some things. And I think in other cases that might be helpful to the committee.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Tony, to your point earlier, and I don't know if it's necessarily increasing safety, but maintaining safety, or should we list something about safety in this area?
Well, again, when I look at, and probably said, the reliability and resilience, I'm thinking the continuity of supply, and so safety is absolutely a core tenet of that. We could, I have no concerns with listing it out. It used to be a completely independent, and safety meant safety of your employees and safety of the public and safety of your customer. And it's there's a much broader, because of the risks brought on by physical and cybersecurity, it's just generally generally, you make an assumption that it's all of the above when you say those things, but I don't mind calling them out. You wouldn't want to have an affordable solution that was unsafe or inconsistent. So I think.
Okay, sounds good. For now, I'll just list it here as a separate bullet. I guess my personal view is there's kind of some of these are maybe when you're choosing different or evaluating different options or scenarios, we might grade them differently based on, are they renewable? How much does it do to economic development? I guess these would be, in my mind, additional priorities or secondary priorities. And I'm wondering if the task force or the subcommittee members feel similarly about kind of this second grouping.
Yeah, I do think that more than likely those are qualifiers for certain projects and could be utilized in that fashion as opposed to setting up a certain purpose, but
And Jen, Tony Izzo, I agree with that. I would view it, maybe I would provide an example or describe it this way. If we're making a recommendation and you have, let's say it's just two, I know we're going to be looking at multiple scenarios, but let's say it's just two of them, and they both accomplish affordability, reliability, but one of them is going to meet or exceed the secondary objectives, renewable, clean energy independence, I don't think it's going to be as black and white as one of them will have all of those meet all those secondary objectives and one won't. But I would strongly urge the task force to, you know, to make decisions based on meeting those objectives, just like we give preference to Alaska contractors. If we can source things locally within our service territory, we even lean that way. We won't approve it if it's going to cost more, but if two things are equal and one of them is going to support our local economy, then as a utility, that's the one we choose.
Okay, great. And then it seems like all of these four fit well into this kind of secondary objectives, and as we're grading options, we can rank which ones meet more of these than others. And then evaluating the RPS and clean energy standards, I guess maybe, should I move this down into the deliverables category? It seems like another output of the subcommittee. What do you guys think?
I view it as, well, Michael's raised his hand, but I'll say it. I'll complete my sentence. I view it as an assignment that was, you know, given to us by the vice chairs or the chair, and it's going to be, I think, something in my list to talk about in, when we get to information needs.
Okay, great. Michael, additional thoughts there?
That's my understanding, and just to kind of understand a point of information where that came from. That bullet got added to the statutes and regulations subcommittee to look at statewide, and then it was also added to this committee to kind of focus on just for the rail belt.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Michael. And I guess, Michael, from your additional context from working on the framing for the subcommittees, you know, with what we've done here, do you see any issues or conflicts or any feedback from your perspective?
None that I'm aware of, but as Tony said, it would be good to just confirm that with the chairs and the vice chairs of the task force. So, Curtis.
Okay, great. And I guess actually one last one, Tony and John and Arthur, any thoughts on this, the ensuring Alaska's energy independence, is that, do you have any additional context there? Is that a primary objective or do you think it's secondary? I just saw the ensuring and that seems like somewhat strong language, so I just wanted to check with you guys to see if you have any thoughts there.
I remember that coming up in our discussions with the task force and wanting to ask the question what that meant and not being able to interject as we were running close to the end of time there. I am curious what exactly that means because of things close on my mind. I'm wondering if it's not like an imported LNG type scenario or something along those lines, which it could be. Definitely my preference to ensure our own independence, but I'm not entirely sure.
Jen, I attended that meeting as well, as I know a number of you did. What I recall, and I believe I spoke to this, but from a high level, from a high altitude, looking at Alaska as a state that's not connected to any other state's infrastructure, and you know, being islanded and for the most part, I view this as a statewide, more of a statewide vision or goal. And here, I remember using the example I just think we should all agree it's untenable that we're so reliant on, for rural Alaska, flying in diesel fuel with such a narrow window with weather and time of year. And I just think that although that's what we might be used to, and there have been improvements in that process, I am certainly not an expert, but it, you know, I wonder about things like a strategic reserve. Is there a tank somewhere over at in Valdez or someplace that fuel could be stored for communities that need that fuel? And I view the same thing with the rail belt when it comes to storage. I would prefer it to be an in-state gas, in-state produced, or in-state resource. And if we don't have that option, okay, but let's make sure that we're not dependent upon, you know, one cargo. It better be here on time. And I saw Michael raise his hand again.
Yep. Sorry, I just, one quick kind of another point of information for deliverables. One of the deliverables that might be implied is just the actions, programs, activities, projects you want to identify to kind of further those purposes and secondary objectives. And I know we developed kind of an action worksheet with the subcommittee. One of the more immediate deliverables we're hoping to work through with all the subcommittees is the next time the task force meets is to kind of have a high-level outline of where the targeted or strategic actions that the different subcommittees want to pursue. So, not to jump ahead, but I wanted to make sure it's captured on this if you're going to note deliverables.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael. And does someone else have their hand raised, or is that still just me, Michael?
No, Neek also has his hand raised.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, I just want, that was a very good comment with regard to the storage aspect. I also think that there's another aspect to the storage, which is the notion of distributed storage. So certainly there's a lot of value in having, a certain, critical reserve in place. But a lot of communities and a lot of places have also started to implement, and utility companies actually have started to implement distributed storage. In some cases, because in the more, populous part of the country, that helps them, basically defray the cost of increasing, power lines and things like that, which is not necessarily a problem we have in Alaska. But if you have distributed storage, it creates a lot more flexibility. It reduces your vulnerability overall. And it also enables you to be less, susceptible to, price variations. So it can actually, peak shaping and other types of things. It can actually help both local communities and on a network level. And then the other dimension of storage is that it, while of course, fuel storage is very important because a lot of the, power is generated through fuel. Other types of storage, especially in a distributed fashion, can also be, very valuable both from a resilience perspective, reliability, and a pricing perspective.
Great. Thanks a lot, Nate. Those are great comments. And I guess, this kind of just goes back to that question around, what do we mean by energy independence? And John, just to reply to your initial question, my original thought of the kind of definition of this is, I guess I read it as that we're not importing energy. But I think this would be a good one to, go back to the chair and vice chair of the task force and seek additional clarity.
Yeah, Jen, I agree because I looked at it, as a secondary objective, like encouraging energy efficiency, but I don't recall, I remember speaking to it, but I don't recall who mentioned it and what that intent might have been.
Okay, perfect. Well, I guess for now, any additional comments on how we've sorted the purpose, secondary objectives? We have another slide on deliverables, so we'll kind of pick these up again to confirm. But any other comments before we move on to scope? Okay, so again, please take this with a grain of salt. I was just trying to, put some words down to really try to prompt thought on what we think we will evaluate and look at as part of our subcommittee. And I put heat as out of scope, but I'm actually interested in just been some debate there. And so anyways, just would love to, so for now, you know, geographically in scope, I've said the, or we've said that the boundary is the existing rail belt from Homer to Fairbanks. And so not looking to expand the transmission lines beyond those endpoints. And then again, I've captured on the electricity side, generation, transmission, storage. And I'm curious if we want to look at how we structure the utilities of the RCA, and if we should evaluate both supply and demand, just putting together forecasts for both of those. Okay, so those are the words on the page, but let's take them one at a time, and then we can add others. The first is just the geographic boundary. Is the subcommittee in alignment that we will look at the existing boundary of the rail belt and use that as our scope boundary, or any comments there?
Jen, I saw Michael's hand go up and Andrew Guy's hand just went up.
I had a question on how you were defining heat, but we can talk about that when you get to that. I'll defer to Andrew on the boundary question.
Thank you. I don't agree that it should be held with Fairbanks, you know, just because of the scope of the main committee to be statewide. And we need to look at everything that can help the existing grid, you know, and something that can help the existing grid may be outside of the grid, you know. So we got to think more about a bigger scope than just the current state.
And Andrew, I know, you know, there's the there's the rural subcommittee and the coastal, and so I guess I was just trying to think as far as communities that this, you know, we look at like supply and demand. When we look at for this subcommittee, I guess I was assuming that the other communities were covered in the other subcommittees. And so, yeah, just, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
That was my biggest concern, that the way these subcommittees are structured in geographic areas, it's kind of trying to make them work in silos, which is not a good structure in my mind. So, but having said that, you know, I guess we have to work with it. But like I said, we have to think way beyond the geographic kind of subcommittee we're in, because what we need to do in this particular subcommittee, you know, we have to take a look at everything. Right now, our natural gas kind of running out from the cooking area, or maybe the North Slope natural gas can solve that, you know. And then there are other sources, potential sources, tidal kind of energy right here in Cook Inlet, you know, tide comes in, goes out, regular schedule, and heck, it'll be easy to put in generators that can take advantage of that, while at the same time making bridges to help defray the cost of the project, you know, connect the anchorage to the Mattu, McKinsey or the Kenai, you know, the two sources of tidal power right here. So we've got to think way beyond the existing scope. And I've heard that the Copper Valley is in the stages of being connected to this particular grid anyway, you know.
Yeah, thank you for that additional context. And I guess, to me, I think we can look at all the, you know, generation types. We don't have to stick with the existing generation types. And I guess maybe it's more just the scope of the service area, as far as, you know, and that would include, you know, Fairbanks, Homer, the Mattu, Anchorage, and we'd be looking at generation, transmissions, and storage that would serve all of those areas. And I don't think we'd be limited. We could also say, you know, hey, if we come up with a really great idea that could be exported to other, you know, to rural or the coastal subcommittee or regions, you know, I think, you know, I don't think we'd be limited as far as sharing, but, you know, as far as our initial scope, I was thinking we would, you know, look at that existing service area of the rail belt. What do you think of that, Andrew?
It's exporting power from the rail belt, you know, that's just one deal. We might need to import from another region, you know. It's kind of thought process that we need to be we're taking on.
And
you know,
Michael,
I think
I
really close to the stated goal of 10 cents a kilowatt hour already for most of it. So small tinkering will get us to that 10 cents. But then at the same time, we know that we have some issues in the future. And those issues in the future require us to think way beyond just this geographic area.
And
Michael, I saw your hand up.
Yep. And then we're, as a, you know, a contractor, Michael Baker, we're happy if there's specific actions or projects that are identified that, you know, relate to other subcommittees, and if they're naturally going to occur as we look at this through a region, but with the data subcommittee, the statutes and regulations, and, you know, we can, we're developing a table that will actually cross-link if there's common issues that we can bring up to the task force. And Andrew, I hear all your concerns and they're valid. One thing that's, you know, as we go through this process, the data subcommittee still has yet to meet. So some of those things that we identify could be answered through a data-driven process and that scenario planning. So I think it's good that the focus of this meeting just be on the rail belt. And but if there's issues that come up, you know, how they link to other regions, we can explore that through the data. So, and Jen, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, and I think I saw John Sims and then Tony.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Sure, I'll go. So I agree that the subcommittee scope is looking at the service areas of those utilities, those four co-ops, one municipal. But I also agree with Mr. Guy that the solutions don't know boundaries. And so there isn't currently a plan to connect Copper Valley, but there is a proposal that if funded by the federal government, we know would connect us with, say, Valdez, Glen Allen, maybe up to Tok and around to Fairbanks with a second feeder or a second intertie. And we know that there are hydro projects that are in some of those areas that I think might be good in the information needs area to say, hey, Black and Beach, you know, what we've heard about this, what is the size of it, and you know, tell us what it might take or how many years and that kind of thing. I also, you know, I want to support Mr. Guy's comment because he has stated this a few times, and I know that clearly the direction from the vice chairs is that we split this up geographically. And we can do that in the subcommittee, but I believe that when the entire task force gets together, that's a primary place and opportunity for us to say, hey, what about, you know, on a bigger picture scale, a transmission interconnection with another part of the state, whether that be Bethel or, you know, I'm just concerned the subcommittee, you know, we have very short meetings. We're running out of time on this one. And so I think limiting the scope is a good idea, but we shouldn't limit the ideas to the scope. Thank you.
Great comments, Tony. Andrew, I think, yeah, you've raised an important point, I guess, based on the additional feedback. And I've tried to update this in-scope statement. And I like the idea of, and I agree, it's inherently structurally, we've broken into subcommittees, and, you know, that may cause us to miss opportunities. And so I like the idea of where we see options to go beyond, it makes sense that we can elevate those back up to the task force. I guess, yeah, what do you think, Andrew?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. This next one, actually, let's just take this as, the agreement that I heard from the governor was 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So in my brain, that equated to electricity. But there has been a question raised several times if we should be evaluating supply and demand for both electricity and heat. And so I'd like to hear from the subcommittee members on that point.
Jen, this is Tony. I'll just jump in first. And I know that was brought up at the very first task force meeting by an ex officio member of the task force, and it was made pretty clear that it was out of scope. I'm happy to approach it that way, but I also know that as technologies develop, for example, the small modular nuclear, that there, in the case of Copper Valley, in looking at that, they needed to be able to use the waste heat 12 months of the year, but the power was only economic in the winter when the hydro was not available, and it really impacted the economics of the project. And I know they're looking for somebody else to maybe own it and take over that project. So if we're looking at an opportunity that's going to achieve a number of these things in the electric area, and with waste heat as a secondary benefit, then I think it behooves us to identify and explore that. But to take on heating load, I think would expand the scope of this far beyond what we could possibly do in the timeline that the governor has set for us.
Thanks, Tony. And I saw John Sims, your hand went up.
Yeah, I just wanted to offer up that I heard the comments as well in the first meeting, and since that time, I actually tasked some of our employees to reach out to electrical contractors and actually do some work to figure out what it would cost to convert natural gas homes so that they could have just full electricity for heat. We have that information at a high level for sort of small, medium, and large residential homes. So if we want to expand the scope and look at that, I'm happy to share that information with the committee. We didn't do it for commercial because they're such unique animals and beasts that would take a one-by-one approach to really see what it is that they would need. But it's relatively simple for a standard home of certain sizes, and so we have that information if we want to expand on the scope.
I wonder if we could look at, from the demand side, maybe we wouldn't go into detailing, maybe from the demand side, we could have a scenario where we look at a certain amount of conversion of homes from natural gas converting to electricity-based heat, and maybe and we still look at the generation, transmission, storage from the electricity perspective, but we look at a different demand side. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, one of the biggest challenges we have with all of these projects is the lack of demand, right? So the more demand you have, the easier it is for some of these projects to pass. I just got done talking about that in the earlier meeting that I was in. So that's one of the reasons why we looked at it, just be curious to see how that would impact things. But we can't forget about what it would cost to convert that home. That's an important component of that. So we can't just say, well, we've got the increased demand, now we can go forward with these projects, but we still have to have the customers convert to homes. But that could be an avenue towards something like the HSC Home Energy Rebate Program that they had implemented a few years ago, where they gave up to $10,000 for improving their weatherization of their homes. So anyway, it's just kind of, it builds on itself, but I think it would be interesting to look at how that increased demand would impact the economics on some of those projects.
Well, John, you've shifted my thinking a bit, and you know, I'll be happy to admit that. I think that information would be very useful, and I'll just add my own electric utility view. We know that right today, in today's circumstances, that heat pumps are less economic. They're more expensive in my service area than natural gas if it's available. But for customers, MEA customers outside of the gas distribution system, it's like the next most economic thing in line. So that's just one anecdote, but it would be very interesting, and here's why I think it would be, to have that data. With the proliferation of electric vehicles, we've done some analysis around how we would shift that at some point in the future. It's not an if, it's a when. I don't think it's next year, but it's some years down the road. As technologies improve and ranges improve, We've done a kind of a high-level system analysis, and when you get to about 15% electric vehicles at a level of 15% of vehicles in the service area, we start to have serious substation and distribution system needs. Transformers aren't big enough on residences. Substations need significant capital. Distribution lines are no longer, it's beyond the capacity. And so that's a motivator for us to look at time of use rates so that we can shift that behavior into an off-peak period. I mean, it's the same thing in your utility world. You're talking about your capacity or deliverability and if you can maximize the size of those lines, whether it's gas or electric, it's much better than having to build a second one. But at some point, you can't do it anymore, and you need to build, you need something else. And it would represent significant generation challenges for us that we're going to have to address. So, I would be very much in favor of looking down that path.
Just an FYI, I've already shared that information with Gwen. So she's already probably got a full research paper on it, but I'll send it along to you too as well. You can see what we worked up there.
Okay. What do you guys think of what I typed up here? Does that make sense?
I think so. Michael's got his hands up.
Just a quick thing. If you are sharing files and resources, if you copy Michael Baker, we can put it on the SharePoint site for the entire subcommittee.
Okay, great. I figured if I said to the chairs, they'd get it in the right spot, but I can add you.
Okay, and then this is one I'm not sure if it is in scope or out of scope, but would we look at utility or RCA and how they're structured? Is there, and I don't have a strong opinion, this is, I think, brought up, maybe Tony, you brought this up in the very first kickoff meeting and it stuck in my head, and so I listed it here, but I don't have a strong opinion on it.
Well, on the RCA structure, that came up yesterday at the, Michael, please remind me the name of the committee. I've only attended one meeting.
Statutes and Regulations.
Yeah. And I see John has his hand up. John?
I was just going to say that seems like the more appropriate place to handle that, and might I know if we talk about that here, I'm going to have way too much to say about it, when we should probably be talking about other things. So,
well, I think it's fair game that if we are looking at scenarios for generation transmission storage, that there are regulatory aspects of those things that I think only this committee or this committee would be best suited to provide maybe two as an input to that other committee.
Fair.
And Jen, you know, I feel strongly the need to, you know, just mention we're at 356. I do want to comment on utility structure. I know that Commissioner Bruni raised that. And we recently had the two Anchorage-based utilities merge. But there is a, I think it would be informational. There is a sense that I've heard that, you know, having the four co-ops, is inefficient. And, you know, I have some, information and some, you know, recommendations and beliefs. But I do think that it is more than fair that we look at utility structure. There may be a better structure, say a generation and transmission entity, likely a not-for-profit or cooperative. But it, you know, if it can get us to that 10 cents or get us closer to it, then I think it needs to be analyzed. And you could look at it for the entire utility structure, or we can look at it in tiers. I know that it will be a sacred cow, but we're not supposed to worry about that if we talk about somehow a merger of the four cooperatives. And at another time, I'd be happy to speak to that as a subject matter expert in some aspects of it. But I've heard this too many times from others to ignore it.
Yeah, I mean, that's been heavily studied over the last couple of decades as well by a number of administrations. So I think it's worth showing the facts as they are for the general public so that they understand, and we can put that to bed one way or another.
Well, okay, or John, if it shows it's going to be a 5 cent reduction per kilowatt hour, then you know that's fine too. I don't have any concerns about what it's going to show, but let's show it.
Yep.
Okay, given that it's 3:58, we didn't get through all the content. We actually did hit on deliverables, but we did not hit on information needs. I guess the question is, one, are folks available to extend another 15 minutes, or two, is the preference to pick this up at our next subcommittee meeting?
So I apologize, I do have to step out. I'm sorry.
No problem. I think we should probably stick to the time that's been booked, just to be fair to everyone. And so, Michael, would you like to, I guess we'll pick this discussion up at our next meeting, but any closing comments as far as from the coordination side?
We do have that action worksheet that we've created. I'm happy to give everyone a preview, and I invite my colleague Mark. He's going to share a screen, but we are slowly updating some actions from this conversation, and we'll distribute the link to this. It's hosted on the Task Force SharePoint site. Just high level, really quick, there's these six dark blue columns that you're seeing in your screen. There's more columns on the sheet, but we're only focusing on these first six ones. But like I said, for the next task force meeting, I think one of the goals is to identify the top strategic actions that this committee wants to pursue. And actions can be policies, regulations, programs, improvements. So really simply, these six columns, the first one is just the name of the action, quick description, and then the timeline for implementation. I do have some different buckets of timeline that differ from your presentation, but they fit in overall, so we can adjust that. And then just identifying the lead organization that would help implement that action, who are the partners and collaborators, and then if this action is new for the state, or if it's an ongoing initiative that you're supporting. And then this is also just meant to be a brainstorming sheet, so if there's an action that you would discuss that once you want to withdraw, consideration in the future for the task force, have that option as well. And then there's the secondary columns that we started to add. They're in yellow if you scroll to the right, Mark, on, you know, overall cost, possible funding sources, if there's research or energy data needed to help evaluate the action, other barriers to implementation. And then we just have some more administrative columns on, you know, if it's assigned to someone, due date, comments, whether it's completed. So I think we're happy to take a first pass and write up what we heard, what we thought we heard the action items were from the subcommittee. And then this will be available online to edit it at your leisure. This is posted through SharePoint, so there is version control. We can go back in time if there are edits. And then the other feature for this, there's multiple tabs, so each subcommittee gets a tab, and it's one Excel file, so you can actually take a peek at what the other subcommittees are looking at as well, just to understand the crossover. Yes, Jennifer.
Okay, yeah, thanks for sharing. And I will just in closing, I'll send out this working slide pack to the group here. And then maybe as an action for, what do you think, Tony, as an action for the subcommittee, could folks reply to Tony and I with information needs that you perceive for our subcommittee work, and if you have any comments on the slide pack?
I completely agree.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks so much, everyone. Tony, anything from you before we close?
No, appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sending that email right now, so you should have it momentarily.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
John.
Have a great day.
Thank you.